This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, good Tuesday morning to you. That means Monday Night Football is done. What a wild game last night in Las Vegas. And I knew the atmosphere was going to be the big story. You know, we had the stadium last year, no people in it. You know, Vegas got this team, and we're so excited. And COVID, we can't even go cheer them on. So a packed house last night in Las Vegas. I lived in Las Vegas for a number of years, and I don't know. There's like a special relationship I have with the city because my career really started to take off there. And to me, to see the Golden Knights, to see this football team, a packed house, when I lived there in the late 90s, you never thought in a million years this would happen, this would occur. So it was really cool for me to see that city in celebratory having a NFL football team. But it was a bizarre game last night. It was a bizarre game. We're going to go over that game. We're going to go over some details, especially what happened in the overtime frame, because that was completely nuts. And I'm not going to get all hyperbolic, and it was the weirdest, but it was as close to the weirdest as I've ever seen. Plus, we'll get to the Manning cast last night. I don't know how many of you caught that between Peyton and Eli, this alternate broadcast that they're doing. Look, because if you like the traditional broadcaster/analysis/second analysis that they do with Greasy Lewis Riddick, that was fine. But the Manning brothers may be onto something, and we're going to dive into that as well. We're also going to get into Clay Helton. He's been fired at USC. That doesn't come as a big surprise after losing to Stanford over the weekend. USC has been under Clay Helton. USC has been at times good, but most of the time, all right. And that's just not good enough for that program. They have an opportunity to win the conference recruiting battles with being in Los Angeles and be one of the teams that should be in contention all the time for a playoff. And the fact that they haven't, that's not the standard USC wants. We'll talk about that. Who's in line? Who should be in line, we should say, to take over that coaching job? It's all coming up in hour one. Oh, man, we got plenty to unpack over the next 3 hours. We've got top five, bottom five, good, the bad, and the dumb. It's all coming up. It's Sports Map Radio, but coming up, the wildness of Monday Night Football from Las Vegas as we continue on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Monday Night Football last night, Vegas beating Baltimore 33-27 in overtime. This was as insane of a game, especially in. You know what the problem with these games are, though? I don't blame any one of you out there if you turn this thing off.
Yep.
It was that boring.
It was
really
awful.
Boring. It was 17-10 in the third quarter, and going into the fourth quarter. And then Vegas tied the game, and then Baltimore took the lead, and then Vegas tied the game again, and then Justin Tucker came out and kicked another field goal, and then Daniel Carson kicked a field goal that tied the game again. So the fourth quarter was entertaining. But if you gave up on this bad boy in the third, no fault. I ain't hating you. That's okay. I get it. There's other things to watch. Maybe you wanted to go to peruse Netflix. I don't know. Maybe you just went to bed. I don't know. I don't have any idea.
The only problem is you're gonna hear about it right now.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And you're gonna be wishing you had stayed and watched.
Because this game got crazy nuts in the overtime. It was insane. So the Raiders are driving in overtime, and Bryan Edwards catches a pass, and he's going into the end zone. First of all, it's a great pass. It's down the sideline. It's a great pass, and it's a great catch. And he's going down the sideline, and he dives to the end zone. Touchdown! Raiders win. The place is going bananas. The Ravens totally believed the game was over. completely. They were shaking hands with the opponents.
They were getting ready to trade jerseys.
They were literally, everybody was on the field. Everybody was on the field. Photographers, this is one of those moments in sports where if you're the official and you know you got to go to the repit play, you just go, ah, screw it. Everybody's like, forget it. Like,
they're
the cannons
here.
Are going off. Like, they're throwing a parade. Everybody's losing their mind. Let's just forget it. Like they're okay with it.
The slot machines in the concourse just spitting money out.
I can't begin to tell you this. Nobody on the Ravens was screaming that he had not gotten in the end zone. Nobody, not one Raven. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. Nobody we saw on TV was saying to the officials, hey, he was down. That ball didn't cross. His knee was down before it crossed the goal line. The Ravens were just like, oh, well, all right, we'll leave. All right, bye. And they were shaking hands and everything. But the officials were like, the game's not over. The game's not over. This is like the band's on the field. Ah! And so they went to the replay and they found, yeah, his knee was down and the ball had not crossed the plane. So the Raiders are going to take the ball first and goal at the one. No big deal. They're going to punch it in, right? I mean, like, it's 1 yard line. They'll punch it in and then we can celebrate again. Derek Carr goes for it on a quarterback sneak. Nothing, right? Then they draw an offsides penalty. An offsides penalty. And you're like, oh God, you got to be kidding me. They're backing this bad boy up 5 yards. Okay, now we might have something. They throw a pass, incomplete. Then on third down, Carr goes back to throw. He gets real pressure. There's real pressure coming his way, and he has to fling it. And he has to fling it fast. And so he flings it, and the receiver, Snead, he misses the ball. But there's a Raven coming in on coverage, and it bonks him in the head. And because it bonks him in the head, the ball goes straight up into the air.
About a mile high.
You're right. It goes straight up into the air. And at this moment, you're going, oh, you've got to be kidding me. That's going to be picked off, isn't it? And it was picked off. It was intercepted in the end zone, and the Ravens got the ball in overtime. So let me just reiterate in case you did miss this. The Raiders had the ball looking for a touchdown to win the game, got a touchdown that they thought was ending the game. I kid you not, it was celebratory. Then they said, no, that didn't work out. Pulled it back. Ball at the one. Raiders can't get in on a run. They try two passes. One gets picked off in the end zone. But we're not done. No, we're not done. So the Ravens have the ball. Now they just need a field goal, right? So they have the ball. They're trying to do something with it. He throws a pass. It's complete, whatever. They're moving the ball a little bit. But then he gets strip sacked. Lamar Jackson gets strip sacked. And there's ball on the field. And the Raiders recover. So the Raiders get a second chance of life. First play, nothing. They go, let's send the field goal unit out. So Gruden's like, screw this. We just need a field goal. Let's get out of here. Okay? So they call on Daniel Carlson. Now, Carlson kicked a field goal with 2 seconds remaining that put the game into overtime. But he's warming up by the net, so they can't get him out there. So Gruden's like, well, forget it. They have to take a delay of game penalty. So they take the delay of game penalty, and at that moment, you're like, okay, what's happening? What are they doing? So you're thinking, what are they going to do? They were going to kick a field goal. They can't kick a field goal. It was going to be a long one anyway. Now it's backed up 5 yards. They're definitely not going to kick a field goal now. And then Derek Carr throws what is one of the easiest touchdowns I have ever seen scored in overtime. It was a beautiful pass to Zay Jones, who, media's reminded me, fourth on the team's depth chart at wide receiver. He is wide open. I think he beat Marlon Humphrey, too, which was just incredible because he's like a Pro Bowler. And scored and walked into the end zone. He catches the ball. That's it. No flags. No referee screaming. Nothing. Game's over. Raiders win 33-27. Like I said, absolutely insane. Insane. And it was so fun. It was so fun. Because it made you go, what are we doing?
It was... I mean, yeah, I know, you know, what is it? The last thing we saw was the best thing we saw. The best thing we saw was the last thing. One of those things. It wasn't that, but it was the most bizarre thing I think I've seen on a football field in a long time.
Oh, it was crazy.
I mean, I think you're right. It's kind of up there with the band on the field play because it just none of it made sense.
Well, like I said, a lot of times we get these moments where a player scores a close touchdown and everybody kind of goes nuts, but the refs are usually stop. That's we're definitely going to view this. So don't go, do not move. So we get those all the time where teams think they scored a touchdown, but they didn't, but they celebrate anyway. But this was a mutual understanding that the game was over.
Lamar Jackson's hugging people.
Right.
The only person who was listening to the refs at all at that point, I believe, was John Harbaugh. Because he's standing right there with the ref going, all right, is it in? Is it not in? Well, yeah, it's not in, right? I'm getting told it's not in.
He's the one that's got a better insight because he's got people upstairs, and he's the head coach. And anytime a player gets tackled, anytime a player stretches as he's falling, stretches for the goal line, the head coach should never concede the game.
What a wide range of emotions for Lamar Jackson.
What a wild. Yeah, because he was on the bench going, ugh.
I mean, you go from losing it to, hey, we got a second chance. We got life moving the ball just a little bit. Then you lose it again, and then you lose the game for certain this time.
I think you could watch NFL for the next 100 years and not find an overtime as crazy nuts as that overtime. Just what happened in that period of play was bonkers.
I mean, just to the, like, even the final play or the second to the final play, taking the delay of game when you had the field goal unit out there because the kicker didn't know he was going out there.
The kicker was like, what? What?
You're calling for me?
Second down? We're going to, there's plenty of time on the clock. And Gruden is like, hey, man, we want the kicker. Get the kicker. Where's the kicking unit? Get him out there. And Daniel Carlson, who played for Auburn, by the way, is like, what? I got to go. And they're just not ready.
It was like nobody told him.
Yeah. He's in there kicking in the net, just minding his own business, getting ready for the eventuality of kicking a potential game-winning field goal. And Gruden's like, why not now?
Because the rule of thumb, right? You run maybe three running plays.
Yeah.
Try, hopefully break one out just a little bit, but you put it in the kicker's wheelhouse area.
Right.
Where he wants it. Right hash, left hash, dead center. You make sure that the ball is there for him. Gruden's like, we'll kick it now.
Seriously, it was almost as if when the Raiders got the ball, Gruden was like, all right, let's run this play. All right, it's second down. What do you want to run?
That didn't work.
Okay, we're going to run hold on 1 second. Kick. Everybody kick. And everyone's like, whoa. And they can't get out there fast enough. It's like he just made it up as he was going along. Like, instead of going, hey, guys, we're going to take the ball back. Okay, here's my game plan. Let's see what we can get on first down. On second down, we're going to kick. Everybody on the same page, get everybody together. It's like at the last second, he just went, screw it, kick it. Send everybody out there. They couldn't get it off. So Derek Carr's like, fine, I'll just hit Zay Jones for the most wide open touchdown in the history of mankind. I mean, seriously, Zay Jones is like, I'm going to walk this into the end zone. I'm like, this is incredible. But that interception, just
that
when
was,
you when God. You watch it in slow motion, man, it's hysterical. It is hysterical because the ball goes through his hands.
But his hands weren't even, he wasn't even close to catching it.
He wasn't even close to catching it. That thing was on fire, man. It had a rocket ship next to it.
But
it flew right through him.
His hands literally made a perfect circle around the ball.
Right.
It was like Derek Carr threw it through a tire.
And then the ball hit that defender right in the head. And he did that thing where he kind of did like that slow motion back to the left that Kramer does with the spitting.
Yep.
He's like, boom!
Why?
And then it bonks straight up in the air. And it's picked off in the end zone.
As a defensive back, I think, I'm not 100% sure, he might have called a fair catch.
Right. I just thought it was great. Oh, my goodness. I got to tell you, I'd be a terrible NFL player because if I caught an interception in the end zone, I tried to run it back.
Yeah, well, I mean, his own like, guy tackled him.
Right. I would.
His own guy sat there and pushed him down
like,
to the
no,
ground.
No,
stay.
Stay right here. We get the ball at the 20, you idiot.
Yeah, we don't need to take it on the one.
Oh, goodness. I'm sorry most of America, that was like, at, I don't know, close to midnight when that was when that was going down. But oh,
sorry,
was that
I mean,
hilarious.
We really are sorry if you missed it.
Yeah, really are, because it was hilarious. But unfortunately, as we said earlier, the game was so boring for most of it that it just wasn't going to entice you to stay with it if you had committed to going to bed for the night.
Like ballpark, 3.5 quarters?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Easily,
yeah,
right?
Question. Yeah. Like I said, I tell people this all the time, guys. I watch games. Most of the games I watch are in passive mode. I am typing. I'm doing other things. I'm talking to my wife. If I don't have a vested interest in the game and it's not that important, look, if it's a national championship, I'm watching it. If it's Super Bowl playoffs, et cetera. But a Monday Night Football, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to talk about this, but this is boring. I'm doing other things. I'm checking stuff. I'm writing stuff. I'm talking to my wife. I'm going downstairs, getting something to eat. So most of the game, it's like, geez, another punt or another move. Ugh, blech. But then you kind of go, this is pretty wild. This is really wild. And then towards the end, you're like, oh, God, this is interesting. And they kick the field goal. It's like, all right, we're in overtime. All right, coming up next, we're going to get into the Mannings because they had their alternate broadcast last night. We'll give us a review of that. And also we'll get into Clay Helton. He has been fired as head coach at USC, which is a big deal. I know it doesn't feel like it anymore, but it is a big deal. We'll get to that coming up as we continue. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better, drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I drove my wife's car for the first time in a while, and I didn't know where the... I wanted to hit the button, you know, that gets the spray on the windshields that runs the wiper blades. It wasn't raining, but it was dirty. I didn't know where it was. And I think I flashed my brights on the back, the guy I was following like 60 times while I was trying to figure out. I'm looking at it going, what do you push this in? No, that does that. What do I do? Do this? Oh, okay, wait. And then I finally found it. So
maybe he just thought you were going over bumps.
Yeah, maybe so. But to the guy I was behind, I'm sorry about
that. He himself did not go over.
Yeah. I just, you know, it's not the same as my car, and everything should be the same as my car.
Exactly.
Right? When I get into anybody else's car, it should be the same setup as mine because I don't want to find where things are.
Yeah.
Right? So, but yeah, that just reminded me of that as I did that read. So the Manning cast last night, I totally forgot about it. Thank you, Twitter.
I did too.
For reminding me the Mannings were on the other channel. And so I kind of caught that a bit. Look, and here's the thing. I don't have a problem with the Monday night crew. They're actually pretty good. They got Brian Greasy, who I like, and then Louis Riddick, I really like. But the Mannings were on, and that show was just too good to pass up.
It was. I caught it late because I had forgotten about it and until I saw it on Twitter, and then I could not turn off. I couldn't turn it off.
Yeah, they were really good. I got to tell you, they were funny. And I didn't expect anything less. They're pretty good together.
Yeah, I mean, between... just them talk. I mean, it was a combination of things, right? Because you had two experts, and literally experts in the game, who were just breaking it down and, you know, putting their own jargon on it. And it was like you're hearing phrases that you've never heard before, but it made sense to you. So I felt like I was a savant in some way. That's how they made me feel.
Yeah, and it can take a boring game and elevate it up. I think that's what this does for Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football can be, let's be honest, not everything is going to be an instant classic. And sometimes these games are kind of dull and they add a little element to it that's actually really fun. Yeah, you know, they brought in Barkley and Russell Wilson. I kind of missed those early because I caught Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
But I missed the Barkley stuff because I forgot about it. Because certainly they weren't, well, I didn't see any advertising for it on the real broadcast. I don't think those guys would put up with that. you know, like the broadcast crew, like, yeah, I know we're just pretty standard, ordinary 3-man booth. But if you want more fun, go to our other channel. But they were, I mean, just when Twitter sort of reminded me that they were up, I went over to it and I was impressed. It was good. But I shouldn't say impressed like I was surprised. I kind of thought that this would work. Peyton Manning is gifted at his ability to do entertainment. He really is. And Eli was surprisingly better than I thought. Yep. But yeah, I mean, Eli kind of used the momentum of his brother and really took it to the next
place. Yeah, because there were times where he just appeared stiff or appeared like – Peyton, to me, felt like he could have talked the entire time. Where Eli, I felt there were times where Eli maybe was a little bit more reserved.
Right.
You know, but it worked. I mean, but it was fun seeing little brother pick on big brother from time to time as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And that kind of brought Eli out of his shell.
Well, that makes, yeah, I will tell you, do you think this shtick is good for 17 games?
Well,
they're 16 games, 17, whatever they're doing. How many are they doing?
I think
are they doing all the games?
No, they're not doing all the games. Okay. I think they're doing 10. I think they're spreading it out. I don't know. ESPN might change their mind and go, this is great. We need to do this every game and oversaturate it. But I know they're doing next week. But after that, I don't know how many more they're doing. That's a good question.
Yeah. So they're not doing the whole season.
No.
I got to dive into this a little bit more because I didn't really know when they released this news what they were doing. I didn't know, like, they were doing a couple games and whatnot, so I gotta probably dive into it a little bit more. But it's a really interesting concept. There's an overriding thing on this, though, which is this a new way now that future, like, younger generations are going to want to consume sports? Are they going to want to consume sports in a way where the traditional broadcasters are moving on to other things and then, you know, doing the same thing, but they want a more conversational, more fun, more entertainment value than the game allows. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So do more people want to do that?
I don't know. I think it's just something, I mean, maybe younger generation coming into it, maybe this is something that they're kind of bored with, you know, what their dad watches or what their dad grew up with.
Right.
I don't know. Because, I mean, first of all, you couldn't find a better character than Peyton Manning because he was so animated and just him jumping up from time to time, like, you know, really breaking down a play. And, you know, that was the thing. That was where I was saying Eli was a little more reserved because Eli would just talk. But Peyton Manning was using his hands. He's, you know, calling out plays and, you know, doing the whole thing. He went full board on it.
Yeah, and that's pretty good. I mean, that's kind of where I think they don't need to both be funny. Right. They can bounce off. They can use each other. They can do their strengths, whatever their strengths are. That makes a lot of sense.
Now they're doing the first 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then they won't be back on. Well, I guess that's all they've decided so far is the first 3 weeks.
Right. So, okay. So just 3 weeks. But I think they'll probably extend that bad boy.
Oh,
right?
No, they will. Because it's a 3-year package that they signed and it's 10 games a season.
Right. Okay.
So, but they have down the first 3 weeks so far.
All right, that makes sense. All right.
You know, week 3 is going to be a lot of fun with Eli because that's Dallas versus Philadelphia. He'll have some knowledge on those two teams.
Yeah. All right, very good. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's as we continue this morning. All right, so I do want to ask this one question about this broadcast. Do they need these large amounts of guest hosts?
No.
I didn't think so.
I thought it took away from time to time.
I did too.
I mean, I guess the only good part about, like, say, having Russell Wilson on there was that it's a current player who knows these teams. And so there was moments where he was talking about some of the defensive backs or some of the linebackers as, you know, as Russell Wilson would say, you know, this is me going against them in the on the opposite side of the field. That part I enjoyed, but I didn't need his other commentary.
Yeah, that's right. Very good point. All right, Clay Helton has been fired from USC. We'll get to that coming up next as we continue. It is Tony D, Ron Culver, Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Glad you could join us. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. This is a big deal. This is a big story coming up in college football because USC is a program that hasn't really been relevant with Clay Helton as a leader, but now is trying to be relevant, and they may do so with their next signing. That's coming up next. We continue with Wake Up Call.
to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
The fight song for USC, Clay Helton is gone. Has been fired by Mike Bone, the athletic director there, and USC trying to get back to some level of prominence that they've had for many years. I mean, that is a long time program that has been very relevant to college football, and over the last couple of years hasn't really been on that level. Now, look, I remember the Pete Carroll years, but you go even further back, John Robinson, etc. USC, you know, just always was around, and they haven't really been. Even though last year they didn't play a lot of games, they probably would have been in consideration for some big bowl game if they won the Pac-12 championship, even though it was kind of a weak season. Clay Helton has not been a complete and utter disaster. He's had some good years, but not great. And I think that's one of the reasons people have always been waiting for the day that Clay Helton would be let go for his job. And then this loss to Stanford that happened on Saturday was, I think, just the straw that broke the camel's back. It was fine. It was finally time to part ways with Clay Helton. But it was something that was coming a while, because the thing about Clay Helton is, remember, he kind of took over after Steve Sarkisian was kind of a mess and they needed some stability at the time. Because if you remember, Steve Sarkisian was dealing with alcohol problems and was showing up to events and he was inebriated and all of that. And it was a concern. And so they let Steve Sarkisian go, and, you know, they did it with sort of that same kind of, you know, we have to, we love you, but this can't happen. And then Clay Helton became the more stable guy because he'd been with the program a long time. But I also think that in the end, you kind of go, hey, is this really the guy that is going to be good enough for USC? Is this really the guy that is going to take USC to the next place? And over the years, I think people wanted this to be, but he wasn't. So again, not surprising, but where does UCLA go from here, right? Where does UCLA go now? So again, this is going back to a problem that I have with college athletics whenever there is a coaching vacancy. And that is, and you don't see this in any other area except on the collegiate level. Like if the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin and the Steelers parted ways, which is rare because Steelers don't fire coaches. They've had three in my entire lifetime. But let's say they did. I wouldn't demand a former Steeler be the head coach. Like, I wouldn't scream to the heavens that, no, we need our guy to be there. And yet, for whatever reason, college fan bases, that's exactly what they want. They want somebody that gets them. And you know, if you've listened to the show a long time, this is a serious pet peeve of mine. I have a real strong issue with this. And because I think you get the best guy. I don't think you need a guy that gets you, because there's nothing to get. Fan bases think they're all different than everybody else, right? Well, we're different. No, you're not. You're not different. You just think you're different because everybody wants to be different. Everybody wants to feel different, right? And that's just a human fallacy, right? That's we all think we're special. So it takes somebody special to get us because we're special. And that's not true. And so do they go to find somebody that has been part of the USC program in some capacity, or do they go and knock on the door at Penn State and get James Franklin, who everybody's saying is the number one guy for the job? Now, if you're James Franklin, would you leave Penn State for USC? Right? That's almost a lateral move. I mean, yet USC is attractive enough, better area in terms of the country, you know, near the ocean and all that good stuff. And then there's a recruiting base and whatnot. And it's Los Angeles, and you need a guy who has a personality that can survive Los Angeles. James Franklin is that. I have watched him in Nashville do incredible things with Vanderbilt. But do you go after a young guy? Do you knock on the door at a guy like Matt Campbell, for example, at Iowa State? Do you bring him in to be the head coach at USC? He's 41 years old. That's a huge step. Do you knock on the door at the head coach at Cincinnati? Do you knock at the door to Billy Napier at Louisiana, who I like and I think is going to make a step to the next level? Or is that too much of a leap for those kind of schools for a coach to go to USC? Because USC is not trying to find just another guy. USC is trying to find the next Pete Carroll. right? The next guy that takes them to another place like they used to have back in the day with Carson Palmer and Manny Leinart and Reggie Bush, where they were winning national titles. That's where they want to go. And these last couple of hires haven't really worked out, whether it's been Lane Kiffin. Ed Orgeron had a cup of coffee with them on an interim basis, and people thought he should get the job. I think it went 6-2. But people at USC never felt like Orgeron was a USC guy. Right? And then Sark got the job, and now Clay Helton's got the job. So it's gone in a number of different directions. But the next hire that Mike Bone makes at USC has got to be the home run hire, not a promotion from within, not the interim guy, whoever this is going to be that's going to take over the program, and he does a good job so he gets the job. No, this next hire has to be a splash, a huge splash in terms of where they're going to go. And to be honest with you, again, it's tough being a program when you have that level of expectations. Like, look, don't get me wrong. It's obviously good from the standpoint of you have your expectations are that you win. Your expectations are that things are fine. But you also can't, when you get these moments, you have to make sure you hit a home run. Like, I saw Pete Futek today suggest that Eric Bieniemy, Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator, get a phone call. Now, I think Eric Bieniemy lands a head coaching job in the NFL eventually. I hope sooner than later. And if you are feeling like your trajectory is heading in that direction, stay in the National Football League. But Eric Bieniemy is a brilliant offensive mind. I think he would shine at USC. He's a Colorado guy. But if you're leaning in that direction where you could be one of 32 people on the planet that have coaching gigs in the NFL, I'd probably stay there. But plucking Matt Campbell at Iowa State's not a bad idea, right? There's other, you know, or like I said, James Franklin, that would be great. If you can land James Franklin, that I would call him tomorrow.
Are you already writing off Lane Kiffin?
Oh, yeah. What about Lane Kiffin? Could Lane Kiffin get this job?
I mean, I don't see why not. I don't think he would take it. I think he's found a comfortable home in the South, but, I mean, we would have said that a couple of times ago, right?
That's probably true. I think he's committed a little bit to Ole Miss here. I think I'd be really careful if I was Lane Kiffin. I don't want this reputation of hanging around programs until I get a better program, right? I mean, you just eventually have to kind of go with the one that you're married to for a little bit. Right? He already played this. It was a kind of a dangerous game in Knoxville because he was just there that first year. I know he's got a few more years. He's got a few years here at Ole Miss, but we all know this about coaching, right? It doesn't, you're hired to be fired. Do you want to be fired twice from USC before your 50th birthday?
Right.
Right. Like, is that what you want? Do you want, okay. What's the word I'm trying to use here? You don't want your the way people remember you, your legacy, that's it. The word I'm looking for is legacy. To be, well, he was fired at USC twice, right? Because unless he turns it around, right? If he does do the Pete Carroll thing. But you don't want your legacy to be, oh, yeah, let go here. Oh, no, by the way, USC let him go twice. Once on a tarmac, and then they brought him back a few years later just to fire him 3 years down the road. Like, you know, just maybe they'll probably call. His agent's probably talking to him.
All right, here's a fun one for you.
Okay.
Urban Meyer.
That's another one I heard. Urban Meyer.
Would he take that gig? Is Jacksonville worried that heart issues are on the horizon?
If I was Shad Khan, I would sue him to oblivion if he got out of his contract to go to USC. I would have been like, we sat down and talked about this. Urban Meyer.
Yeah, one game okay. In the NFL, and he realizes, oh, this isn't for me.
Yeah, this isn't for me. But here's another point. It's like we talked about at the beginning of this segment. A lot of people have been uncomfortable with how long Clay Helton has been there, right? If you're Urban Meyer and you're meeting with your team, believe me, he has a team, right, that is dedicated to Urban Meyer. Do you think somebody said, Urban, you got a pretty good gig at Fox. That USC job is opening up soon. We all know it. Do you want to chill out for that? Here at Fox, do the studio work, enjoy your time on TV. That job's opening up soon. and then we will absolutely land that for you. And then he went, yeah, I know, but I think I want to go to the NFL. Or do you think he's on the phone with his agent now going, oh, God, yeah, that USC gig. Can you put a bug in somebody's ear over there in Los Angeles? I'm interested. Then he can deny it. He'll play that game where he denies it.
Yeah.
He'll go, oh, I have no interest in that at all. That's you media people making up stuff.
Then eventually does the Sanford.
Yeah, right.
Grabbing his chest.
That's right, yeah. Oh my God, Elizabeth, I'm coming. Goes to USC. Comes a head coach at USC. Urban Meyer, man. He just leaves one stressful job for another stressful job to another. And this Jacksonville job isn't stressful at all.
No.
Stop. He's got a rookie quarterback. He's growing. Nobody's pressuring him to win games. Just rebuild this over time as he grows. Right?
That would be amazing, though. I think that would break the sports internet.
I do, too.
If that was to happen.
I think so, too.
But I'm curious. I am curious.
Like, what do you think his image would be like if he did leave Jacksonville?
Oh, if he did that?
I outside of USC, I can't find. I wouldn't find one fan that would like
it. It would
him.
Be his final job. Yeah. It'd have to be. Unless somebody.
You can't trust him? Like, you can't trust him 2 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, this is his third job where he retired because of medical reasons.
I know. And look, I know he put in his time at Florida and Ohio State. He didn't leave in 10 seconds. I get that. He put a lot of time into both jobs. Enough. But remember the circumstances in which he left. He didn't leave to say, hey, man, I want to try something different. I want to go somewhere new. He said he had health problems, and then he had to get away from coaching only to then coach again. Like, just went in and coached again. And people are like, okay, you either are not – either you can do this or you can't do this. Like, what is it? That's what I was saying earlier this year when he was hired. I said, if I'm Shad Khan, I got to go – man, look, we love you. We want you here. You're kind of a legend in this state for what you did with the Gators, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm paying you a lot of money. Are you just going to take this, win 3 or 4 games a year, and then just quit? Like, are you in this for the long haul? Like, are you in this to turn this program around? Because if you're just in here to win a few games every now and then, grow the quarterback a little bit, and then leave for another gig that you perceived as better 3 or 4 years, that's going to cost me a lot of money that I'd rather give somebody else who's going to be more committed to this. Because Urban's not cheap by any means. I mean, he's making a lot of money there. But I think his image would plummet. Absolutely plummet.
I mean, it feels like it's on shaky ground anyways, because we're all just waiting for that one moment.
Right.
For that moment where the Jaguars, maybe they started off the season 0-4, 0-5, you know, and they just really haven't clicked yet. You hear the rumors that he's already losing the locker room or this and that happening. If that all happens, you know, by week 4, week 5, I mean, do we start to see issues? I'm not going to speculate what kind.
Right.
But Urban Meyer starts having issues again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we're at with him right now. We're not even giving him. I'm not even giving him the full season yet.
Right. I know.
You know, and here we are. I mean, you know, a high profile college job opens up in a great recruiting area. I mean, California produces a lot of top athletes. You're in Southern California, media market of the world. Why wouldn't you want to coach there? I mean, like you said, USC has been a prominent team since way before you and I even set foot on this planet.
No, exactly. In fact, I was talking to my friend over the weekend. We were talking about Alabama football, and I mentioned to him, I said, did you see that Sam Cunningham passed away? And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I saw that. I said, Sam Cunningham, and we talked about this last week while you were gone, he's probably one of the most important players in college football history, because when he played for USC, USC went to Alabama to play Alabama, and Sam Cunningham's performance against the Crimson Tide, that's what Bear Bryant wanted to show the people of Alabama, to integrate college football in the South. And Sam Cunningham was playing for USC, and USC had black football players, and Alabama did not. And when Sam Cunningham rolled over the Alabama defense, that was the point that Bear Bryant used to say, I want to bring black players to the, you know, to Alabama. And that helped him do that at a time where that wasn't happening. And it was USC, right? It was USC. It wasn't any other school. It was that school and that player and Sam Cunningham. They have a very important part of the college football history. O.J. Simpson, Marcus Allen. I mean, think about all of the players. You know, just forget about the Pete Carroll guys. I mean, those guys that won Heismans, they're on a level too. But it goes all the way back to a level of importance in college football. You better land this job right. All right, we're going to come back. We'll wrap up that thought as we continue. It is Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue Sports Map Radio. Coming up in Hour 2, we've got the good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll continue to look at Week 1 in the National Football League. Hour 3, hey, it's the return of Top 5, Bottom 5. How fun is that? We got to make sure we're going to land that. We also have a – do we have a buy or sell today? Is that what we were doing?
Yes.
All right, very good. We've got a buy or sell coming up as well in this hour. But we'll get more on Clay Helton being fired, some more names for it, but more on Week 1. Now it's in perspective. We'll go to that coming up in hour number 2. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, please do so at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. As we head into hour 2 here on Wake Up Call, the good, the bad, and the dumb is coming up. And you know how much we love that. It is Tony D, Ron Culver, and this is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.